देवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 86 एंटाइटल्ड अर्जुन किडनैप्स सुभद्रा टेक्स्ट नंबर 48 नमोस्तु ते ध्यात्मविदां परात्मने अनात्मने स्वात्मविभक्तमृत्यवे सकारणाकारणलिङ्गमीयुषे स्वमायया संवृतरुद्धदृष्टये नमोऽस्तु ते ध्यात्मविदां परात्मने अनात्मने स्वात्मविभक्तमृत्यवे सकारणाकारणलिङ्गमीयुषे स्वमायया संवृतरुद्धदृष्टये नमोऽस्तु ते ध्यात्मविदां परात्मने अनात्मने स्वात्मविभक्तमृत्यवे कारणाकारणलिङ्गमीयुषे समायम् Matajis. Namostu te dhyatma vidam paratmane anatmane svatma vibhakta mrityave स्तुतेद्यात्मविदां परात्मने Word to word translation. Namaha, obeisances, astu, may there be, te, unto you, adhyatma, the absolute truth, vidam, for those who know, paratmane, the supreme soul, anatmane, to the conditioned jiva soul, sva atma, from yourself in the form of time, vibhakta, who gives mrityave, death, sa karana, having a cause, akarana, having no cause, lingam, the forms, respectively, the material form of the universe and also your original spiritual form. Iyushe, who assume sva mayaya, by your own mystic potency, asamrita, uncovered, ruddha and blocked, drishtaye, vision. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Let me offer my obeisances unto you. You are realized as the supreme soul by those who know the absolute truth. Whereas, in your form of time, you impose death upon the forgetful souls. You appear both in your causeless spiritual form and in the created form of the universe, thus simultaneously uncovering the eyes of your devotees and obstructing the vision of the non-devotees. Purport. When the Lord appears before his devotees in his eternal spiritual form, their eyes become uncovered, in the sense that all vestiges of illusion are dispelled, and they drink in the beautiful vision of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. For the non-devotees, on the other hand, the Lord appears as material nature, his universal form, and in this way he covers their vision, so that his spiritual personal form remains invisible to them. Srila Vishnachakra Thakur gives another interpretation of this verse based on an alternative understanding of anatmane, a form of the word anatma. Various classes of men know the absolute truth in different ways. The devotees of the Lord, who are in the reciprocal mood of neutral admiration, meditate on the supreme as possessing a divine personal form, Atma or Sri Vigraha, transcending all aspects of material illusion. The impersonal philosophers conceive of him as formless, and the envious demons see him in the form of death. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashati Dashatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Kadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavranda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today we are discussing from the 86th chapter. This chapter is entitled Arjuna Kidnaps Subhadra. Shukdev Goswami describes two pastimes in this chapter. The first pastime of Arjuna kidnapping Subhadra, which has already been described in the beginning of this chapter. And the major part of this chapter is dedicated to the second pastime, Krishna going to meet Shrutadeva and Bahulashva in Mithila. So for the past few weeks actually we have been discussing this pastime. So Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, there are two devotees who are rendering devotional service in Mithila. And especially it's described that like these two devotees, they actually prove this particular point that you serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. Do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve the Lord in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. So this particular statement of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has been proved in the case of Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. Because Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, both showed their dedication and steadiness in serving Krishna in his deity form in Mithila. So because generally in deity worship, when a deity is installed, the deity is actually situated in a particular place, it cannot be moved. So therefore, traditionally, because the deity is situated in a place, that therefore traditionally like grahasthas are actually, they are supposed to worship the deities because they also stay at one particular place. Traditionally the sannyasis and also the brahmacharis, they assisting the sannyasis, sannyasis may be moved from one place to another place. So grahasthas, because they stay at one particular place, so Prabhupada even writes in a particular place that so grahasthas should be the head pujaris, like that he mentions, taking this principle. So because deity is installed at a particular place, and grahastha means one who is situated at a particular home, so therefore the suitable service, the suitable person to worship the deity is also grahasthas, like that Prabhupada explains. So Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, they showed their dedication in serving the deities, in worshipping the deity form of Krishna, and because of that they never got an opportunity to go and meet Krishna, although Krishna was personally present during that time. He was present in Mathura or Dwaraka. So Krishna is reciprocating with their sincerity and steadiness by all the way going from Dwaraka to Mithila. So this shows actually the attitude of the Supreme Personality of God. In fact, Krishna, when was present in this world, he went to various places. So when he was present in the places, when he was present in this world, he was there in Vrindavan, Mathura, and then Dwaraka. And then he went to heavenly planets. When he handed over the earrings which were stolen by Narakasur, and after killing Narakasur, he went to heavenly planets and personally handed over the earrings to the demigods. In that way, Krishna actually purified the heavenly planets. And Krishna went to the lower planets, Sutala Loka, in order to get back, retrieve the first six sons of Devaki who were killed by Kamsa. And Krishna went to even the abode of Mahavishnu, we'll see in that 89th chapter. And Krishna went to Prag Jyotishpur when he went to actually kill Narakasur. And Krishna is here coming to Mithila to reciprocate with the devotee Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. So in these verses, Shrutadeva is actually offering his prayers to Krishna. So in particular, in this particular verse, what we see is that Shrutadeva is actually glorifying the two aspects of the Supreme Lord. The time feature of the Supreme Lord and in his feature as the Supreme Soul. You are realized as the Supreme Soul by those who know the absolute truth, whereas in your form of time, you impose death upon the forgetful souls. So we'll discuss a little bit about the time feature and the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both are the two aspects of the absolute truth. But how does actually Krishna, how does the Lord actually, what are the characteristics of the Lord in these two features? How does he deal with the living entities? Like for example, the one feature of time factor is that time factor, it makes even the most significant person as insignificant. The time actually destroys everything in due course of time. Like there is a verse in the Agni Puran, which Vedanta Desika quotes. He says that, Ganga yam shikata dara, yata varshati vasave. He says that the particles in the bank, sand particles in the bank of Ganga, it is possible to count the number of sand particles in Ganga. Yata varshati vasave. One may even be able to count the number of raindrops when Indra actually pours forth rain. Shakyati ganayutum loke, but na vyatita pitamahaha. But it is not possible to count the number of Brahmas in the creation. So, the sense, Brahma is considered to be the most important person in the universe. He has the longest lifespan, and he's a great devotee of the Lord, and he's having so many opulences. He's having four-headed Brahma is in one sense the smallest number of heads. There are many more number of heads, but it's explained that so Brahma is in one sense the most significant person in the whole universe, but according to this verse, that it is not possible to count even the number of Brahmas in this world. That means, what we can infer is that the time factor makes even the most significant person insignificant. So when we understand this time feature of the Lord, then it actually completely humbles us, it actually keeps us grounded. And at the same time, we see the other aspect of the Lord. The other aspect of the Lord as the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead, Krishna has, we can say, two aspects of the Supreme Lord Krishna: his greatness and his sweetness, his Aishwarya and his Madhurya. So, in his quality as the greatness of the Lord, there's a similar verse in the Bhagavatam where Brahmaji is praying, Gunatmanastepi Gunan Vimatum. Hitavatirnasya ka Ishwarasya Kalena Yairva Vimitasu Kalpair Bhupamshavakke Mihika Dyubasa. So where Brahmaji is saying that it may be possible to count the number of sand particles on the shore of a ocean. Or it's also possible to count the number of snow particles, which is even more subtle compared to the number of sand particles. And it may be possible to count even the number of particles in the light, which is even more subtle. But one will never be able to count the number of qualities of the Supreme Lord. Just like the number of Brahmas one cannot count, that shows actually how the time factor makes the person insignificant. So similarly, the other feature of the Supreme Lord Krishna, how his feature, how he is so unlimited that it's not possible to count the qualities of the Supreme Lord. In fact, Sanatana Goswami writes a beautiful purport. I'll share this purport. Sanatana Goswami says that, why is it that the Supreme Lord has got unlimited qualities? Because The Lord wants to attract each and every living entity in a personal manner. Because the number of living entities are unlimited, so therefore he exhibits a particular quality, and each and every living entity is unique, and every living entities are unlimited, so therefore in order to attract each and every living entity in a personal manner, he exhibits a quality by which the living entity will become attracted. So therefore he has unlimited qualities because the living entities are unlimited. So in that sense, the greatness of the Supreme Lord, in the sense he is having that unlimited qualities, he is connected with the sweetness of the Lord in wanting to reciprocate with the living entities, in making himself in wanting to attract the living entities in a personal manner. There is another verse about the greatness of the Lord. So this is from one of the Sri Vaishnava Alvars. So Kuresh, is also called as Kurat Alvar. He speaks in his composition Sri Stava. He talks about the concept of stuti, praising a person. So he says that stotram nama kimamananti kavayo yadyanya diyan gunan. In this world, when we praise a particular person, it could be some demigod, or it could be maybe some politician, or any great personality. When we praise a person, invariably we actually praise, many times we praise a quality of a person, but that quality may not be present in him. That quality may not be present in him. We actually most of the case it's actually flattery. That quality may be present in somebody else, but we are just praising him, making some poetic embellishments to actually praising him, to praise him. Or sometimes the qualities may be present in a person, it may be a true words of praise, but those qualities are very limited in nature. Such a person has a limited qualities. Or even if a person has those qualities in limited quantity, ultimately those qualities are actually coming from the Supreme Lord. But Kuresh is saying, but on the other hand, when we praise the Supreme Lord, he says that it will never be an exaggeration. In fact, when you praise the Supreme Lord, it will be always be an understatement. So he says that vak vachaspatim api shakyachan tavastav nar ninondu. He says that even the Lord Hayagriva, who is a Lord of speech, he cannot succeed in describing adequately your vast sea of auspicious qualities. So in the case of the human beings or the demigods, when we praise a person, it invariably involves exaggeration and embellishment. It invariably becomes an exaggeration or a flattery, or we are just using some poetic embellishment, we are actually glorifying him. But whereas when we praise the Supreme Lord, any stotram, any praise offered to the Supreme Lord can at best be a gross understatement. Because however powerful, how much ever you may pray the Supreme Lord, how much ever you may use the best of the words to pray the Supreme Lord, you will never be able to adequately actually pray the Supreme Lord, because the Lord is actually unlimited. He is having unlimited qualities. In fact, one cannot praise even the portion of his qualities. So this is the feature of the Supreme Lord, feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of his greatness, how he is unlimited. But the other aspect of the Supreme Lord, apart from the aspect of Aishwarya, his quality of Madhurya, his sweetness, So one of the aspects of his madhurya is that how he actually reciprocates with his devotees. How he reciprocates with his devotees. So there is a beautiful prayer offered by Akrura to Krishna, the 10th canto, 48th chapter. So Akrura prays that, Kappanditastvadaparam sharanam samiyat. Which learned person can approach anyone other than you for shelter? And then he explains that, why should one approach the Supreme Lord, Krishna, for shelter? He mentions four qualities of the Lord. Bhakta priyat ritagirat sugrida kritagnya. Bhakta priyat, because he is affectionate to the devotees. And ritagira, ritagira means he is always true to his words. Sugrida kritagnyat, and he is always grateful to the devotees. Grateful to his devotees. And then, sarvam dadati sugrudo bhajatobi kaman. He satisfies all the desires of his devotees. In fact, Akrura says that you actually give yourself to your devotees. And then he explains that atmanam api upachaya apachayau na yasya. Although you give yourself to your devotees, you never increase or diminish. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. The Supreme Absolute Truth is perfect and complete, and so many complete units emanate. Whatever emanates from him is also perfect and complete. But although so many units emanate from him, but still he remains the complete balance. So here Akrura says that although you give yourself to the devotees, you neither diminish or nor do you increase. So here he explains the word is that Bhakta Priya Tritagiro Sugrida Kritagya, especially the word Kritagya, that means Akrura is saying that you are most grateful. There are different verses in the Bhagavatam which actually talk about Krishna's aspect of gratefulness. In one place, in the 5th canto, it is explained that Krishna's attitude of greatness, gratefulness is that he can be easily made grateful. That means that it does not require, you don't have to perform some big task to make Krishna to be grateful. Even when a person renders small service, Krishna can be easily made grateful. So the same mood is actually reflected here. Vishnu Chakratipada explains that Krishna's attitude of gratefulness is that he remembers anything which a devotee has done for him. Any service, how much ever the insignificant the service may be. Even if the devotee has forgotten that service, still Krishna actually does not forget that service. So Krishna remembers any act of service which a devotee has rendered, how much ever insignificant it may be, and even if the devotee has forgotten that service. So therefore, if we contrast this aspect of Krishna as the personality of Godhead with the aspect of Krishna as a time factor, we can see a stark contrast. The time factor makes the most significant person insignificant. One cannot count the number of Brahmas, although one may be able to count the number of sand particles. But the personality of Godhead, he makes even the insignificant service rendered by a devotee, he considers even the most insignificant service rendered by a devotee as significant. So we can see the contrasting feature of the personality of Godhead and the time factor. So therefore, Jiva Goswami explains in his Bhagavad Sandarbha, he says that absolute truth or the personality of Godhead is the shelter of mutually conflicting potencies. is a shelter of mutually conflicting potencies. Of course, he discusses in great detail. We can see the one aspect of that, that how Krishna, in one factor, he makes the most insignificant person insignificant, but in another aspect, he considers even the most insignificant service rendered by a devotee as significant, and he never forgets that service and never fails to reciprocate with that service. So that is why, in fact, so this quality of Krishna reciprocating with his devotees, this quality is present in all the forms of the Lord, but this quality is present in the highest degree in his form as Krishna. That is why Brahmaji says that Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Manantarupam. Advaitam means, here it means that, you know, the meaning is that one who has no equal, one who has nobody who is equal to him. So then Jiva Goswami says, then what aspect, nobody is equal to Krishna? Is it in his aspect of power or beauty? Definitely in all these aspects. But especially he actually mentions this particular aspect in which nobody is equal to Krishna. He says that in giving himself to his devotees, even Lord Narayan is not equal to Krishna. In that sense, he is Advaitam. And although he gives himself to his devotees, but he is Achyutam. He never diminishes from his position. So that is why he is Achyutam. He is never infallible. He does not fall from his position. So we can see this both these aspects, time factor and the personality of Godhead, which is what is being highlighted in this particular verse. And another thing, we see that time factor and the personality of Godhead in relation to that. So in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, he is just about to die. He has 7 days to live. And he has actually, he decided to take shelter of the Lord by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So when he asked the question, what is the duty of a person at the time of death and in all circumstances? What should a person hear, chant and remember? And what a person should not hear, chant and remember? So there, Shukadeva Goswami answered what a person should not hear, chant and remember by talking about the materialistic person's activities, absorption. And then he answers the question, what a person should do, hear, chant and remember. So for that he says, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichyata Bayam. He explains that one should actually hear, chant and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get freedom from fear. So especially why we are taking this verse is that Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichyata Abayam. In order to get freedom from the fear of death. So Rupa Goswami quotes this particular verse as an example for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So there are two types of Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, where the inspiration to perform devotional service comes from hearing from the scriptures. So this particular verse is quoted. And the other type of Sadhana Bhakti is Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which is a higher level, where a person has a spontaneous eagerness to serve the Supreme Lord. So in the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, this verse is quoted because the actions of hearing, chanting and remembering are generated from the rules of scripture, which state that the Supreme Lord extinguishes the fear of material existence. The scriptures state that by taking shelter of the Lord, the Lord actually extinguishes the fear of death. So in that sense, Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami could sense Parikshit Maharaj's fear of death. So therefore he says that if you want to overcome this fear of death, you must hear, chant and remember. So death is nothing but the feature of the Supreme Lord in his time factor. So if you are afraid of the feature of the Supreme Lord in his time factor, which is nothing but death, you must actually hear, chant and remember the Supreme Lord. So this is how the Bhagavatam begins. But in the course of the Bhagavatam, when Shukadeva Goswami speaks the Bhagavatam, then when it comes to 10th canto, and Shukadeva Goswami begins the Putana pastime, so there he explains that how actually Kamsa sent Putana to kill Krishna. So that time Shukadeva Goswami becomes anxious. Parishad Maharaj becomes anxious. Therefore Shukadeva Goswami says that Nayatra Shravanadini Raksho Gnanani Swakarmasu Kurvanti Satvatam Bartur Yatu Danyascha Tatrahi. So he explains that, so Parishad Maharaj was feeling that when Putana is coming to kill Krishna, he feels that, oh, somebody is coming to kill Krishna, he becomes very anxious. So therefore Shukadeva Goswami could actually, in order to pacify Parishad Maharaj's anxiety, he says, wherever hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord is happening, there cannot be any danger. Na yatra shravanadini raksho gnanani swakarmasu. There cannot be any danger from the bad elements. So therefore, there is no need for anxiety about Gokul where the Supreme Lord is personally present. So why we can see here the contrast here. Parishit Maharaj begins hearing Srimad Bhagavatam out of fear of Krishna in the form of the time factor in order to overcome the fear of death. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam throughout 9th canto and coming to 10th canto, now Parishad Maharaj has come to the platform of from fear of death to fearful for the safety of Krishna. So previously he was afraid of one feature of Krishna as the death or the time factor. But now, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he has come to the point of afraid for the safety of the personality of Godhead, Krishna in his original feature as the personality of God. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam takes a person from the stage of fear to the stage of love. It takes a person from the door of fear, and it actually gives admission into the door of love. Where Parishad Maharaj is actually, although he just has few days to live, now previously, in one sense, he was self-absorbed. He was thinking about he was afraid of death. But now he has become more absorbed in Krishna, where he is concerned about the safety of Krishna. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this verse to actually pacify Parishad Maharaj. That is why when we talk about the just few points about the time factor. So time factor, Chanakya Pandit says that Ayusha Kshana Yekopi Nalabhya Swarna Koti Bi. Even one moment of time cannot be gained even if you pay thousands of gold coins. So time is something which is irrecoverable. You cannot actually recover it. Once the time is over, then you cannot actually again recover it. Not only time is irrecoverable, but it cannot be stored also. In the case of when you compare time with wealth, suppose if you lose some wealth, but you can again actually earn that wealth. But in the case of the wealth in the form of the time, if you lose the time, you cannot again get that time. And when it comes to wealth, you can actually, if you are not able to decide what you want to spend the wealth for right now, okay, you can store the wealth and then you can make a decision at a later time. But in the case of the time, you cannot actually store the time. You have to make the decision right now. You have to make the decision right time. Once you miss that, then that is lost, that wealth is lost. So therefore, Prabhupada writes in one place that he explains that one of the like the four regulative principles, one of the regulative principle is that no gambling. He says that one aspect of gambling is that normally in gambling we actually people waste money to invest. They invest some money in something expecting that they will get more money. But another subtle aspect of gambling which Prabhupada says is that when people waste time or invest time in something, some materialistic activities, expecting that this will give me happiness, that is also another aspect of gambling. So another aspect of time factor is that when you contrast time factor with Krishna, time makes the most unpalatable thing unavoidable. So old age, disease and death, they are not palatable to a conditioned soul. Nobody wants to grow old, get disease. But time makes it unavoidable. But the Lord in his original feature as Krishna, Krishna makes the unavoidable factors like old age, disease and death as palatable. In the sense, when a person takes shelter of Krishna, when a devotee also has to get old age, disease and death, but he is not disturbed by the fact that he has to grow old, get disease and he has to die. It actually, the unavoidable thing, when we take shelter of Krishna, then the unavoidable thing becomes palatable. Another, like this article of Chaitanya Charanru, always like this article. So people usually talk about time management. When you talk about time management, they see time from a utilitarian point of view, how much money we can make using time. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talk, in Bhagavad Gita, when you read Bhagavad Gita, we can see time from an intrinsic point of view. That means what it actually is. Time is actually nothing but Krishna. Krishna says, among the subduers, I am time. So when we talk about time management, so materialist, he is talking about time management in terms of how we can effectively utilize time in order to earn more money. But when a spiritualist talks about time management, managing time means managing Krishna, because Krishna is time. But Krishna is the supreme manager. So therefore, managing Krishna, managing time means, it means leading our life according to the will of the supreme manager. So therefore, from the point of view of a spiritualist, time management means leading our life according to the will of the supreme manager. This is what the time management according to the spiritualist. And so basically, those people who do not want to take to Krishna's gentle love in the form of his teachings in the Bhagavad Gita, so they experience Krishna's tough love in the form of the time. So now I want to talk about something about Shrutadev. So there are two aspects of Shrutadev. We can see when Krishna came to the house of Shrutadev, Shrutadev offered obeisances to Krishna, and with a spontaneous eagerness, he actually took his shawl and he started actually waving his shawl and he started dancing in front of Krishna. So we can see a spontaneous enthusiasm to serve the Krishna and happiness to serve Krishna. And there is also, and then it is described that Shrutadev, he actually worshipped Krishna with a different argya and different ingredients to actually worship Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti mentions one particular point. He says that Shrutadev worshipped Krishna with things which were easily available, and then he gives a further meaning. That means Shrutadev worshipped Krishna with items which were easily obtained in the sense that they had been gotten without committing violence to other living entities. So we can see two aspects of Shrutadev. That means there is a spontaneous enthusiasm to serve Krishna, and also there is a sensitivity in the sense that in worshipping Krishna, he has utilized only those items which are obtained without committing violence to other living entities. So there is a spontaneous enthusiasm, at the same time there is a sensitivity to surroundings. So that is why Kapila Dev explains in the third canto, Nishevita animitena swadharmena mahiyasa kriya yogena shastrena nati himshrena nityashah. So Kapila Dev says that one should worship me with articles which were actually obtained without excessive violence. Yeah, certain amount of violence cannot be avoided. What he is explaining is that nati himsrena means without excessive violence. The Prabhupada gives an elaborate purport that he explains that how certain, like jivo jivasya jivanam, one living entity is food for another living entity, but we eat actually, certain amount of violence cannot be avoided, but human beings, we have to worship Krishna with a minimum violence, therefore we offer vegetables, etc. So like this particular verse, this particular principle also lays a shastric foundation for like why we want to use only ahimsa milk, why we want to use actually flowers which are actually grown without much chemicals, because like other the chemical flowers which it actually causes damage to the earth surroundings. So therefore we see Shrutadev, these two qualities, that a spontaneous enthusiasm to serve Krishna and the same time sensitivity to the surroundings. So therefore we can see that Krishna consciousness, it includes being an environmentalist, but simply being an environmentalist is not equal to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness includes vegetarianism and non-violence, but simply being a vegetarian or practicing non-violence is not equal to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness includes morality, but simply being a moralist does not mean he is a spiritualist or does not mean he is a Krishna conscious person. Krishna consciousness includes respect to the demigods, but simply worshipping the demigods is not equal to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness includes being a responsible devotee, which means following one's duties according to Varnashram, but simply for being a responsible person following the Varnashram Dharma does not mean that he is a Krishna conscious person. So we see that Shrutadev's Krishna consciousness includes sensitivity to the surroundings, that means the being concerned about the environment. So therefore he used only those things which were obtained without, which did not cause violence to the environment. And lastly, I want to speak about Shrutadev from the nectar of devotion. Like where does Rupa Goswami place Shrutadev in the nectar of devotion? So he explains that when he describes actually Dasya Bhakti Rasa, so he says there are two aspects of Dasya Bhakti Rasa. One is Sambrama Preeti, that means servitude with awe and reverence, and second is Gaurava Preeti, that means a more intimate mood of service. So then he explains in Sambrama Preeti, so the different different bhakti rasa, they get stimulated by different things. Like for example, just to give a simple example, that suppose a person is chanting, suppose a person has he likes batata vada and is chanting japa, and he gets suddenly from the kitchen the smell of batata vada comes. So that smell of batata vada acts like a stimulus, then immediately he runs to the prasadam hall. So Rupa Goswami says, so that which stimulates a person's affection, that is called as vibhava. That which stimulated one's affection towards batata vada, that smell, that is like the vibhava. And the resultant action running to the prasadam hall, that is the anubhava, the action which follows after. So similarly, he says, for each of the bhakti rasa, different things which actually stimulates one's affection towards the Lord. And the stimulants has actually two categories. That which stimulates is called as vibhava, and it has two aspects, that is alambana and uddipana. So alambana means vishaya alambana. So alambana means when the supreme Lord and the form of the Lord and his quality stimulate one's affection, that becomes actually vishaya alambana. When the devotees actually simulate one's affection towards servitude, then it is called as ashraya alambana. So when you take inspiration from a particular devotee, I also want to serve like that, that means the devotee acts like a stimulant for rendering service. So that it is called as ashraya alambana. As when you hear a particular quality of the Lord, that stimulates one's affection to serve the Lord, then it comes at the category of vishaya alambana. So vishaya is the supreme Lord, and ashraya is the devotee. And of course, uddipana means something related to Krishna or the devotees. When they act as a stimulant, then it is called as uddipana. So therefore, vibhava has three aspects. Vibhava has basically alambana and uddipana. And alambana has two aspects, vishaya alambana and ashraya alambana. So in the case of ashraya alambana, when the devotees act as a stimulant for evoking one's reverential servitude, when the devotees act as a stimulus for reverential servitude, then they are called as ashraya alambana. So then he says there are four types of devotees who can act as a stimulant for who stimulate one's servitude towards the Lord in the sambrama priti. So the four types of devotees are adhikrita dasa. The first kind is adhikrita dasa. Adhikrita dasa means the demigods who are appointed to serve the Lord, the appointed servitors of the Lord. The examples are the demigods. So for example, there is a statement, there is a conversation between Jambavati and Kalindi, where Jambavati inquired, who is this person circumambulating Krishna? So Kalindi said, she is Ambika, the superintendent of the universal affairs. Then she asked, who is this personality who is trembling at the sight of Krishna? And she said, he is Lord Shiva. Who is this personality offering prayers? He is Lord Brahma. And who is this person who has fallen on the ground and is offering respect to Krishna? So Kalindi said, he is Indra. And who is this person who has come with the demigods and is laughing with them? He is my elder brother Yamaraj. So in this way, he says that how the demigods are actually the appointed servitors of Krishna. So this is the adhikrita dasa. The second type of dasa is ashrita dasa. Ashrita dasa means devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord's protection. So in the ashrita dasa, he gives three subcategories. The first category is sharanagata or sharanya. So in this case, a devotee was previously engaged in sense gratification, but being afraid of the material existence and being convinced of the Lord's protection, he takes shelter of Krishna. Such a person is called as sharanagata. And he gives the example of Kaliya and the kings who are kept by Jarasandha as captive. They were given the examples of sharanagata ashrita dasa. And the second type of ashrita dasa is gyani chari, or a gyani chari ashrita dasa. So the gyani chari ashrita dasas are previously they were actually engaged in the process of liberation. Previously they were engaged in the process of liberation, but becoming attracted towards the personality of Godhead, now they start they have taken shelter of Krishna. The examples given in this connection are the sages of Naimisharanya and the four Kumaras. So previously they thought that Brahman happiness is the ultimate happiness, but after becoming attracted toward the personality of Godhead, they took shelter of Krishna. So they are called as Jnani Chari Ashrita Dasa. And the third kind of Ashrita Dasas are Seva Nishta. Seva Nishta means those who are attracted to the Lord's service from the very beginning. From the very beginning. They didn't have some past track record of being engaged in sense gratification or pursuing the path of liberation. So they are the Seva Nishtas. In the case of Sharanagata, those who are previously engaged in sense gratification, for example, Rupa Goswami quotes this verse, Kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa nopa shanti utsrujaitan atayadupate sampratam labda buddhis tvam ayata sharanam abayam mam niyungshvasma dasye. So a devotee is praying that countless times I have followed the dictations of lust, anger, greed, envy, etc. And I have served these masters for so many lifetimes, but these masters have never showed mercy to me. In fact, I showed them so faithfully, but they have never shown any shame, and they never, they demanded from me service in such awkward circumstances. Still, I faithfully served them, but they never shown me any mercy. But now I have acquired little knowledge, and I have actually given up these masters, and now I have surrendered to your fearless form. So please engage me as your servant. Just like here, the devotee, he is praying that previously I was engaged in serving the different anarthas. So therefore he is given as an example for Sharanagata, and now he has taken shelter of Krishna. And even the sages of Naimisharanya, they also say in the first canto that how previously they were inquisitive, but later they actually, by the association of Suta Goswami, they actually took shelter of Krishna Katha. Whereas in the case of Seva Nishta, they were engaged in the Lord's service right from the very beginning. And in the case of Seva Nishta, he gives the example of Shrutadev, Bahulashva, Lord Shiva, King Ikshvaku and Pundarika. So Rupa Goswami places Shrutadev and Bahulashva in the category of Seva Nishta, who are engaged in the Lord's service right from the beginning. And of course, I'll complete the other two also. The third category of servants are the Parshadadasa. Parshadadasa means those who are intimate ministers who render various personal services to Krishna. And here also, in the case of Parshadadasa also, Krishna actually Rupa Goswami places Shrutadev also as in the category of Parshadadasa. So Shrutadev comes in Sevanishta and also in the Shrevanishta Ashritadasa, and he, Shrutadev, is also placed in the Parshadadasa, that means the intimate ministers who render various personal services to Krishna. So the services rendered by Parshadadasas are carrying the message of Krishna, in that sense, they render these services. And so one may wonder, how is it that Shrutadev is placed in both the categories? Even Lord Shiva, he comes under the category of Adhikrita Dasa, the appointed servitors, and he also comes under the category of Sevanishta. So how is it that they both come, they come in two categories? So for that, Rupa Goswami says that, he explains that, for example, Lord Shiva, out of love for Krishna, he takes shelter of his protection and surrenders to his service. So therefore, he is a Sevanishta. And the service, the specified service which the Krishna awards is service as a demigod. So therefore, he also comes under the category of Adhikrita Dasa. So similarly, in the case of Shrutadev, out of love for Krishna, Shrutadev takes shelter of his protection and surrenders to his service. So therefore, he comes under the category of Sevanishta. And Krishna awards him the service of a personal minister for him. So therefore, he also comes under the category of Parshada Dasa. And then the fourth category of servant is called as Anugadasa. Anugadasas are those people who render even more personal, intimate service to Krishna. Intimate service to Krishna. For the principal Anugadasas are actually the Raktaka, Patraka, Patri, Madhukanta, like that. And then Rupa Goswami explains that this Parshadadasa and Anugadasa, they have three kinds of moods towards Krishna. So one kind of mood is called as Durya. Durya means they express their love towards Krishna, and they also serve the lovers of Krishna, and they also serve and they express their love towards Krishna, towards the lovers of Krishna, and towards those who serve the lovers of Krishna. Really, they serve Krishna and his lovers, and also they also serve the servants of the servants of the lovers of Krishna. That is the mood of those who are, this is the mood called as Durya. The second kind of mood is called as Dhira, where a devotee does not have a specific service towards Krishna, but he is firmly situated in the shelter of a dear devotee of Krishna. So there was a son of Satyabhama's nurse. He is not having a direct service to Krishna, but the son of Satyabhama's nurse, he is situated under the shelter of Satyabhama's nurse. By being in the shelter of such a devotee, and he also gets the mercy of Krishna. And that is what actually our hope. So we don't have the hope of directly serving Krishna, but being under the shelter of some devotee of Krishna, so we can get the mercy of Krishna. And lastly, the mood of Veera. Veera means those people who do not take shelter of anyone besides Krishna. These devotees, they have, because of their unlimited attraction towards Krishna, sometimes they apparently show enmity or hatred towards other devotees of Krishna. It is not that they have an innate hatred or harshness towards other devotees of Krishna, but because of their unlimited attraction towards Krishna, they appear to behave like that. Like, for example, a Veera Parshada or a Veera Anuga once spoke that, "Oh, Lord Baladev may be a great enemy of Pralambasur, but I have nothing to worry about him. As far as Pradyumna is concerned, I have nothing to take from him because he is simply a boy. And I don't even care about, I am not even afraid of even Satyabhama, who is so dear to Krishna." In this way, Rupa Goswami explains the different categories of devotees. So, to summarize, initially we discussed about the difference between the time factor and the personality of Godhead. And then we discussed about how the time actually deals with the conditioned souls. And then we discussed how Shrutadev, he is actually having a spontaneous enthusiasm to Krishna, at the same time he is also sensitive to the surroundings. And then we discussed about the four categories of the servants of Krishna. The Adhikrita Dasa, Ashrita Dasa, Parshada Dasa, and Veera Dasa. And we discussed the three moods of Parshada Dasa and Veera Dasa. and Rupa Goswami places Shutadev on the category of the third type of Ashrita, that means Seva Nishta, one who is engaged in the service of Krishna right from the beginning. And Shrutadev is also in the category of Parshada Dasa, that means a minister of Krishna. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions, we'll take personally. Shantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.